I want to welcome everybody to Recover in Christ Ministry. This week we are in the middle of going through the book of Genesis, but this week we will be having a special guest. I have a special guest with us tonight, Preacher Mike. How are we doing tonight, Mike?
I'm doing fine, sir. How are you?
Doing great. Was wondering if you would share with us a little bit of a testimony as far as, you know, how you got saved, where you got saved, maybe some influences that you had growing up in your early years, some of your influences.
Yeah, I did. Richard, it was something I won't ever forget. Of course, my grandfathers were a big influence on my life. So my background, I never knew my mother and father. I have a twin sister, and we were put up for adoption at birth, and we were adopted by a pastor and his wife, and it was sort of a rough childhood in that, but the good thing is the Lord used that to lead me to salvation a few years later. But my grandpa's always taught me to do right from wrong, and they always told me that even when I was lost, told me to stay in the Word and keep running the nose clean, so to speak, and I always prayed for my salvation constantly. And I had a couple ladies too, I'll never forget, Sister Marie Lawson and Miss Annie Halls. Asked me every Sunday, every Wednesday night, you know, boy, when you getting saved, you know, we're praying for you. It always was a sort of a heavy conviction on my heart, Richard, and I guess you asked about my salvation. You know, I grew up as a son of a Baptist minister, knew heaven and hell probably better than most preachers did, but I always put off being saved. I'd be drawn, but I always put it off. And then one night on July the 6th of 1985, there was a little Baptist church just west of the Mississippi River, actually about 30 miles west of St. Louis, Missouri. I was in the midst of a revival on Friday night, and an evangelist was preaching. I don't know what he was preaching on exactly. I just knew that God was heavy in the house that night. He evidently was preaching hell hot and heaven sweet, but when he gave an altar call, the Holy Spirit just got a hold of me, and I couldn't hardly stand it. I was crying. I couldn't hardly get over the pain of being a sinner and needing a Savior. And I couldn't move. I just froze in my seat. And he came to me and asked if he could pray with me. And he said, boy, he said, if you'll just stand up, he said, God will do the rest of it. So I stood up and took the first step. And I tell you, it was like Jesus himself just carried me to the altar.
Amen.
I remember going down there, and I was sitting on a third row on the right-hand side towards the front. I was wearing a striped shirt. I can recall that as clear as a bell. But I got down there, and my dad's churches are a little different than most churches. They don't, you know, believe in praying with people at the altar. They just leave people to themselves. He said, you want to be saved? I said, yeah, but I don't know what to say. He said, well, you tell God what's on your heart. I just said three words. I said, Lord, save me. And at that moment, Jesus came into my heart and life. Wasn't no big, you know, bolt of lightning, no flash, thunder, nothing like that. I got up and I was like, man, was all there was to it. And I went outside the church. Across from the church was a set of train tracks. And I stood on the train tracks, and man, the peace of God had come all over me. I stretched my hands up in the air and just began to praise Him for saving me. And His Spirit filled me, and I was just so overjoyed in the peace I felt. No longer having to worry about at night when I go to bed, if I die, would I go to heaven or hell? I knew my answer then was a solid yes, I would go to heaven. And my grandpa Asbury, he told me he was real sick that year. He told me his desire was to see me saved before he passed away. And I give God praise that I was saved in July. He passed away that September, and his dream came true. And I look forward to seeing him one day and just rejoicing together.
Well, the Lord's got all things planned out ahead of time anyway, so.
Oh, yeah.
He knew the time and place that that was all going to happen beforehand, so. Is there anything in particular going through the years that you've been saved that's helped you as far as your growth in your spiritual life? Is there anything that you could share with us in regards to if there was like possibly two or three key points in your spiritual walk that you know, we all have battles that that we deal with and utilize certain tools and you know, things that I did on early as a Christian was, you know, minor compared to, you know, the things that that I do today.
All right.
Are there any particular things that have helped you over the last few years, or?
Well, yeah, Richard, there is, and man, it's a good thing you brought that up, because you see, before I got saved, you know, growing up in a preacher's home, you were really sheltered from a lot of sin. And my dad's churches, I guess you would say, most, maybe I don't know if most hearers will understand what I'm saying, but the churches were what was termed as legalistic. They had a lot of rules that you had to go by, and it would be in good favor with the church. And I was saved at 15, but never taught what I was supposed to do next. I was never a disciple. I loved the Lord. I knew I was going to heaven, but I was just told that, listen, if you sin, it's all right. It's all pre-forgiven. Don't worry about it. And so with that careless attitude, I started college at 17 years old, and temptation was all around me, and I was never taught how to fight it off. And so I succumbed to that temptation. I was never taught to get grounded in the Word. I was never taught how to pray. So then those things came against me, and I fell into a trap of alcohol. I tried drugs a couple times. It was just a mess. I didn't really care for it.
Right.
I fell into some pornography, and just did a constant battle. I would, you know, do them things, and I knew it was wrong. That's trying to forgive me. It seemed like I could never really get out of it. And I had a girl that I knew. She went to a Pentecostal church. I went with her, and I was never taught about the Holy Spirit. I was taught that He was real, but not that He was a person. He just kind of a doctrine, you know, if you know what I'm saying.
Right.
And that night, I went to her church, and I felt the Holy Spirit for the first time in my life.
Amen.
He came in, he filled me, and I was able to talk with him, but he told me, boy, he said, I want you to preach the gospel everywhere. Well, I was scared to death because I've seen, you know, having some preachers, the battles they go through, and never been equipped myself. You know, I was scared, so I ran. I believe it was 1993. I was living in Myrtle Beach and I walked away from God to the point I was actually a bodyguard for a pretty notorious drug dealer in that area. He operated up and down the East Coast, and I knew it was wrong. And I wasn't doing any sin myself as far as taking drugs or selling drugs, just being in that environment.
Right.
And some things went down, and just by being just guilty by association, I was arrested and put in jail for a couple of weeks. But in that period of time, I always thought that jail ministry was crazy. You know, that's just for people, you know, who have no life. But the deacon came in from some Baptist church and was sharing the gospel. And I went and sat down and listened to him. And he began talking about Jonah, how Jonah ran from God's flames. And it was right then and there, God, it took God getting me down on my face to realize who he really was. And he talked to me about getting in the Word, reading the Word for myself. I realized that if you don't stay in the Word of God and read it constantly for yourself and study and pray, that you're going to fall way short. And when the devil comes against you, you don't know all the promises that God has for you, you know. And if you don't read the Word of God, you won't know how to pray like you need to. So it was the time I surrendered to God and came back to Charlotte, North Carolina. But His grace is amazing, Richard. His grace is what saved my soul from hell. It kept me from getting killed several times doing stupid things. And, you know, for anybody out there, you know, that might be listening to this interview, is surrender to God is the main thing. You know, if you know right from wrong and you're a child of God, even if you're scared, just surrender, do what He wants to anyway, because God will make a way, you know, for you. And He asked me, you know, I've been preaching quite a bit here lately and getting ready to start pastoring a church sometime soon. And God has some exciting things in store.
It sounds like the Lord is definitely moving in your life. That's always a positive thing. I can identify with those spiritual battles, and it wasn't for the tools that I've had in diving into the Word of God to try to fight off those strongholds and utilize the scriptures to fight those battles and put that armor on. And that's
right.
Where a lot of folks that I'm not going to say that I'm perfect and I've arrived and all that stuff, but I know that fortunately that I was taught real on and early, even though I didn't hit the pavement too early, but to get involved and get in there and get reading and you know, dive into that discipleship aspect. And was there anything that you would like to add to the listeners out there? We've got listeners from all over the world out there in China and all across the United States, and a lot of folks are really looking for some message. I mean, if there's any one thing that you could leave you know, to those that are listening to this podcast.
Right. Well, I'll tell you, Richard, the one thing I've learned being saved now, it's just been 21 years, is that walking with Jesus is sweeter every day. And, you know, right now there are a lot of people all around this world that are facing, I don't know, like right now in Vietnam, that has bad storms, and in China, and you know, poverty is on the rise, and people are just suffering by the masses, and they're looking for something. They're looking for an answer, and the answer is not in any man, any leader. It's not in money. A lot of people turn to music, and a lot of Christians turn to music, but they turn to the wrong kind. They turn to rock and roll or country or whatever instead of a good gospel music, and it leads them astray. And if people will just understand the one thing, that Jesus Christ is the answer, He's the only way. If you're sad, He'll make you happy. If you're down and depressed, He'll bring joy into your life. If you're scared and fearful, He'll bring peace. And it's just a real simple thing, Richard. If the people who seem to have their back against the wall and know the place to turn, if they just turn to Jesus Christ, they ain't got to understand who He is. They ain't got to know all about Him. They ain't got to even understand the Bible. But if they'll just speak the name Jesus, God understands that name. He understands what's on each person's heart. And I fully believe that those individuals that will just speak that name, believing that there's power, that there's peace, that there's hope of not only help in this life, but life everlasting in the next life, that God will come in and save their heart and clean them up, and He'll lead them, and He'll supply all their needs. Without Jesus, you know, Richard, I'd be nothing. I am nothing. But and once you find Christ, once you get saved, you need to get a disciple. Somehow get you a copy of the Word of God and read it. listen to good music. Discipleship is the whole key. And if I would have had that, I would have been through a lot of heartache. But I urge every listener, you know, as you look around the world's events right now, things are escalating in North Korea and Israel and the Middle East and Iraq, here, even here in America. And time is, as you know, what I believe is coming to a close.
Right.
And very soon God's going to come back instead of his kingdom. But I just the one name that, and it's the only word that Billy Graham has preached for years is Jesus. That's all I want. I don't want nothing else but Jesus. And if I can just have him, I've got anything I want. And that's what I'll leave with the listeners and with you, is just don't worry about nothing. You just get Jesus in your heart, love him with everything you've got, and I guarantee your life will be so much sweeter.
Amen. Well, I'm glad you brought that up in regards to getting a hold of the Word of God. The Recovering Christ Ministries is in the process of getting together cases of Bibles, so those that are listening worldwide or around the United States, if you can email me at rmulcahy, that's rmulcahey 2003 at aol.com, we will personally get you a copy of the Word of God so that you can start learning about scriptures. Email me, and we'll be more than happy to go ahead and get that out to you. Well, Mike, I appreciate you taking the time and sharing your testimony with us.
Yes, sir, Richard.
Let's just close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this time to come together, Lord.
Yes,
Lord, we ask that this testimony and whatever that was said, that it's nothing about what we've done, Lord, that it will go out throughout the internet and across the world, and hopefully, Lord, that someone will hear it and prick their heart, Lord, and touch someone, Lord, that we know that there are many souls out there that need to be saved, Lord, and we just ask that the message goes out, Lord, and we continue to lift up your name, and it's nothing that we've done, Lord, and we just ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.